Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting together the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us this morning. We're now in December. Woohoo! Someone told me, spring is one day closer. I want to remind you of our big New Year's Eve bash that's coming. End of the year here, and make plans for that. Get a date. If you're single, get a date. You slacker boys, go get a date. And girls, you can ask them. Don't wait for them. They may never ask ever. And if you're married, don't get a date. Keep the one you got and come. All right? We're going to have a lot of fun. Live swing band dance is going to be, and then the balloons all coming down at midnight. So much fun. Today is, as I said, December 1st. It is the first day of Advent. However, this morning I'm going to give you my Thanksgiving sermon because I snuck out of church last Sunday morning. It was my birthday week. So I called Pastor Beckett the last second and said, "Hey, can you preach for me?" She said, "Sure." I said, "Great." So what I do? Went out hunting. Yeah. I got one. First shot that Saturday morning. One came. There he was. I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And I got him. But we stuck around the rest of the week doing some hunting and stuff. And one morning, 4:30 in the morning, I wake up getting ready to go. And my wife looks at me and says, "I'm going to go hunting with you." I said, "Well, that's cool." So we quick got dressed and went out, got in, you know, the side-by-side, drove out in the middle of nowhere and climbed up into the 12-foot blind up there. What do you call it, though? Blind, right? Deer stand. But it's more than a deer stand. It's really nice. I bought it. It was brand new. Everybody is freezing. I'm like, I'm ready to put in a hot tub, man. I'm up there. They'll all give me a hard time. Nobody's cold. Everybody's cold except me. And so we get in there. It's pitch black, you know, and settle down. And all of a sudden, I go, I look at her and I said, "Did you put on perfume?" She said, "No, not today." Look, if you put on perfume today and you get up at 4:30 in the morning, it's still today. And in that little box, it's just whiffs of, you know, bath, what do you call those things? Bath and Body Works store. I felt that's what we were like there, just, oh my gosh, I'm thinking. And then she opens her thermos and pulls herself a cup of mushroom coffee, which smells and tastes as bad as it sounds. It's just horrible stuff. I don't, what in the world? You know, the witches of Endor cook it up, I think, you know. Big cauldron. So all this mushrooms, it's now it smells like a witch crashing into a perfume factory. I'm like, what the heck? So I'm hoping it clear out of there. And then she says, "You want some peppermint hot chocolate?" I said, "Yeah, that's what we need." The fresh smell of peppermint filling the room. I mean, there were no deer around for miles, I'm pretty sure. Although they had to be a little confused. "What is that?" "I think it's a person." "No, I smell mushrooms." "Really? I smell peppermint." Anyway, but she's sweet. She's out there with me. Yeah. Nice lady. And then I had, then my birthday was this week, and we had a big celebration yesterday. The whole fam is here, and we just had a blast. It was so much fun with all our family and friends celebrating. I turned 70 years old, and I don't feel 70 until I was dragging that deer out of the woods. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm 70. Should have called these young guys to try to get out there anyway. So anyway, here we go. Luke 17th chapter, the Gospel of Luke, starting at verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Who knows what they look like? They had this disease, and they were always forbidden to be around anybody else because they knew it was very contagious. And they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw him, Jesus says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." I thought, got nothing else to do. So they went off to show themselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed, completely healed, made whole. All the disease was gone in their bodies. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. I have to tell you, people don't like it when religious people get loud, inappropriate. You can be at a Packer game. I was at the Packer game. Thursday night, it was a blast. My son-in-law from Arizona thought he was going to die. He said, "So cold." I said, "This isn't cold. It's going to get cold, but it's not cold yet. It's only 27. I was comfy as could be. And he was just 47 layers of everything. Like that little kid in the movie Christmas Story that's walking like this. That's my son-in-law. He thought he was going to die. Oh my. Anyway, when they score, everybody's jumping, yelling, screaming, strangers hugging strangers. You know, that's okay in a football game. People get nervous, so you got to turn and turn around and shake somebody's hand in church. What's that? Anyway, he comes back. He's in a loud voice. And he's praising God. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Now, that's significant in this story because the Jews, Jesus is Jewish. All the people around him are Jewish. The Samaritans, they're on the border there, it said in the beginning of the story. And they didn't like the Samaritans. They were creepy crawly to them. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" You know. And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Here we see a problem that so many people have in their lives. They're only interested in God when they have a problem. And the bigger the problem, the more interested they are. I'll never forget after 9/11, that fateful day, came to church that Sunday morning. This church was packed to the walls. Churches everywhere in America were packed to the walls. I thought, this is great. A new spiritual awakening in America. But it lasted just a few weeks. And pretty soon everybody went back to their same thing and didn't really need God anymore. I was talking to Deanna this week. I said, you know, it's amazing how many people will come to us in a panic, you know, in church, you know, and they need help and they're desperate and we'll help them. And you'd think you'd see them again, but you don't see them. They just disappear. There's a saying for those who've been in war that there are no atheists in a foxhole. Why is that? It's an intense situation. People are shooting you. You have a good chance of dying. People become very devout at that time. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. And as soon as they get out of trouble, they forget all about God. As soon as their troubles dissipate, so does their interest. And they fail to be truly grateful and thankful as this one guy was. I don't know what the percentages of this is, but if it's anything based on the story, about 90% of the people who God pulls out of the fire forget about him and ignore him. Let's not be that kind of person. Be grateful. Get connected. Be thankful. Don't just wait till something bad happens in your life. And learn to be a very grateful, thankful person. So this morning I have some few characteristics of a grateful person. I want to point out that I'm sure there are many more, but I got four. The first characteristic I have here of a grateful person is that they are resilient. People who are grateful, more often than not, are people who have struggled with hardship themselves. People who have gone to hell and back and survived, they tend to be grateful, thankful people. People who have suffered tend to be truly grateful for all they do have. They have an attitude that says, what doesn't kill me only will make me stronger. And they are grateful, very happy people. They become very resilient. Second characteristic of grateful people is they don't panic. Because they've suffered and survived, they tend not to panic when things go wrong. Because they have learned this very important lesson in life: things always change. One of the great advantages of getting older is that one tends not to freak out over troubles. Why? We have learned, any of you geezers out there like me know, everything's temporary. Everything changes. Just hang in there. I was talking to my friend Yakov Smirnov the other day. He calls me, and he also married a young wife. He really went young. What's a 30-year difference? Out of his mind. Anyway, he calls me, and she just freaks out about everything. She just freaks out about this. I said, you know why? She said, why? Because she's young. The older you get, you don't freak out about stuff anymore. You become very grateful, thankful, and you don't panic. Most troubles will not kill you. They think, you feel like it's going to kill you, but they're not going to kill you. And of course, from a Christian view, even if they do kill us, we're okay because we walk in the promise of eternal life. Jesus says, whoever believes in me will never die. You see, Christians, we don't die, we merely transition. Hallelujah. But when one is young, and the younger they are, they tend to panic over everything. Why? They've never seen anything so overwhelming in their lives, and they're convinced this is it. They get a bill they cannot pay, they cannot breathe. They get a sickness, and they think they're going to die because they have never seen anything like this in their life. If they lose a job, they freak. If a love interest dumps them, they come unglued. Older people, assuming they haven't allowed themselves to become bitter old codgers, there's a category of those as well. Older people know it's going to be okay. Do you know why? Because we've learned over time it's always okay. You may suffer for a time. You may get battered and bloodied. You might feel like you've gone to hell and back, but it'll always be okay. People have hard times in life. And if you're going through a hard time this morning, I got good news for you. It's going to change. Don't panic. Don't freak. Don't be filled with despair and give up. One of the most devastating personal experiences people go through is going through a divorce. Anyone who's ever gone through that knows what I'm talking about. It's devastating. Here's a person who pledged to love you till the day you die, and now they want you out of their life. It is painful. Your self-esteem takes a major hit. It seems like life cannot go on. But you know what? It does. It always does. Why? Because things change. Your husband might leave you for another woman, devastating your family, leaving you feel terribly hopeless. But you know what? It's going to be okay. You might even wind up marrying a very sexy older man who'll treat you like a queen. I don't want to mention any names, but her initials are Deanna Gunger. Bob Marley got it right when he sang that song, "Don't Worry About a Thing, because every little thing is going to be all right." You learn things are going to be okay. Grateful people always know it's going to be all right. They refuse to give up like so many who fall into a pit of despair, depression, even suicide. I was talking to our son, Tatum, the other day. He's in the Coast Guard. He's talking about these guys his age are killing themselves in the Coast Guard. Like, do you know why? Because they think this is it. Whatever trouble is, it'll never change. You know, they go into the military, young people, and it's not as cool as they thought it was. Somebody's always yelling at you. You think, this is going to be my life forever, and they can't take it. And they take their own lives because they're convinced things will never change. Don't think like that. Things will always change. I knew of a young man over in Stevens Point took his own life because his girlfriend dumped him. You know, don't do that. Because they're thinking, this is it, my life will never get, it'll be fine. This is particularly true for people of faith. Paul wrote in Romans, the 8th chapter, he says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's a man who did go to hell and back dozens of times. He had a hard life, the Apostle Paul. Never lost faith. Why? Because everything's going to be all right. He had faith in God. There's a, back early 1900s, a guy by the name of Smith Wigglesworth, very devout, very spiritual guy, and had all kinds of spiritual experiences and stuff like that, and really prayed. I mean, if you ever get a chance to read anything about him or from him, do it. Smith Wigglesworth, really weird name, but anyway, he writes of this one time, he's in his house all by himself, and suddenly he hears all this racket, you know, in the attic, and, you know, if you've ever been home by yourself and all of a sudden you hear stuff, it's a little creepy, right? You know, my wife gets freaked out if I just walk in the room. You scared me. I live here. Anyway, Wigglesworth, what a name. Here's all this racket. What is going on? And he goes up there, he opens the door, and he says, there he saw Satan in physical form. And Wigglesworth goes, oh, it's just you. Closed the door and went back downstairs. Here's a guy who didn't freak, right? Man, how did he get that way? One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Job 42:12. Now, if you read Job, if you know the story, had a pretty hard life. Everything went wrong. Everything. He lost his children. He lost all his wealth. He lost his health. The devil took everything, but left his wife. Knew how to get to him. Anyway, he had a hard time. It was awful, awful what he went through. But I love it when you get to the book and everything turns around in his life and we read these words. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had more children than he had in the first place. Wealth greater than he ever imagined in the first place. God knows how to take your situation and turn it around. Don't give up. Stay grateful. The third characteristic of a grateful person is they cut other people slack. They do this because they understand grace. You know what grace means? It means unmerited favor. In other words, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You know, some people, I don't want to forgive that guy. He doesn't deserve it. I don't want to bring in those people. They don't deserve it. That's the point. That's the point of grace. You're kind to people when they don't deserve it. If you're truly grateful with God's grace in your life, you understand that and you share it with others. Because what we have from God is undeserved. What we deserve, you don't want to think about what we deserve, but thank God for his grace and his favor. And the first person they tend to cut slack to is themselves. You know, they don't beat themselves up because they understand the grace of God. You really get this. And this is why you become so grateful and thankful. It's a characteristic in your life. You let stuff go. You cut people slack. And then number four, finally, grateful people tend to be generous people. People who are grateful are generous sometimes to a fault. People who are generous are most often that way because they realize that all of the truly valuable gifts and blessings they have received in this world were not earned. Rather, they were given. They know how fortunate they are and want to share their blessings with others. They become generous people. So in summary, grateful people are resilient. They don't panic. They cut people slack. And they're very generous. Or to put it negatively, since so many of us can more easily relate to negative viewpoints than positive ones, sad to say, ungrateful people crumble under pressure. They freak out over everything. They're quick to condemn and be angry at others, including themselves. And they remember everything negative thing that's ever been done to them since the womb. They got a long list of transgressions, you know. This person did that, and that person did this. The Bible says love does not keep a record. Don't keep a record. Man, if you got a list of stuff, burn it up, tear it up, let it go. Life is way too short to be hanging on to all of that stuff. And finally, they don't give jack. They don't give anything. They, you know, you watch these people, when the offering goes around, they break out in a cold sweat. They hold tightly to everything they have, like Gollum in The Lord of the Rings. My precious. That's not the way we should give. Grateful people understand it's easy for them to give. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 7, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Because why? God loves a cheerful giver. So finally, above all, be a grateful person. Don't be like the 9 who, as soon as they got out of trouble, forgot all about God, and God becomes a distant memory in the rearview mirror. Be a grateful person. Be like the 1. Don't be like those who are quick to forget God and just go on their merry way. We, above all people on earth, live in the greatest country in the world. We should be the most grateful, thankful people on earth. Amen. And now we're into our time of communion. This is when we celebrate where this grace comes from, this unmerited favor. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. His body was broken, his blood was shed so that we could be made whole. You can't earn your forgiveness. A lot of people say, well, I'm not that bad of a person. Yeah, you are. We all are. Everybody's bad. You can't earn it. You say, well, I help little ladies across the street, or I do this, or I don't let my dog poop in my neighbor's yard. I'm okay. No. You can't earn it. There's no way to get rid of our sins. The only way to get rid of it is to give them to Jesus. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. And he offers this incredible swap. I call it the great swap. He says, I'll take everything that's wrong with you, and I'll give you everything that's right with me. And you do that by faith. And that's what we do as we celebrate communion this morning. The Bible says, before we do this, we should all reflect and examine our own hearts. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause to examine ourselves. If we've sinned against you in any way, thought, word, or deed, something that we did that we should not have done, something that we should have done that we didn't do, if we haven't loved you with our whole heart, if we haven't loved our neighbors as ourselves, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray, have mercy on us and forgive us of all of our sins. Maybe you're here this morning as heads are bowed and people are reflecting, thinking, you know, I've never done any of this that you guys are talking about. Well, you can right now. In your own words, just whisper out to God, open your heart, say, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. And you can take your first steps of faith with us here this morning. Amen.